Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. We're here at Penny Lane Studios in New York. My guest today on Piano Jazz is one of the most incredible musicians I know, Mr. Willie Ruff. And Willie, I'm so pleased to see you. It's been an age.
It has been too long, Marion, and thank you for the kind words.
Well, it's the least I can do, because thinking of the many things you do, incredible doesn't really take care of all the things that I know that you've done in your varied career.
Well, nothing makes me happier than to be here visiting with you and your audience, which I know is vast because I listen to you all over the country whenever I traveled. We don't hear much of you in Connecticut, but we certainly hear you in Oshkosh and Cincinnati and Evansville and Louisville. And
it's Paducah. Amazing, isn't it? And probably in your home state of Alabama.
Yes, yes.
And, it's just great.
Or Saturday Never Passes Without It in Alabama.
Oh, really? Is that, that's when it's on,
that's
Saturday?
That's right, Saturday afternoon.
That's terrific. Yeah. You know, we didn't meet in Alabama, but we did meet down south, didn't we?
In Georgia. That's right, in Atlanta.
Wasn't that? I was trying to think, actually, of our first meeting, and I guess it was at that club.
That's right.
At the top of the
stairs.
Top
of the stairs, yes. About 57 or something like that.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? Yeah. And, you did something so wonderful then. You came up on stage and you learned this ballad of mine. And maybe we can play that later on.
Oh, I'd love to. I remember it well.
We had a lot of fun on that gig. But the place I remember most was you being at the Hickory House. I don't think opposite me, but I think I was away, and then I would come in here because you
had
a trio. You had a nice drummer with you at that time.
That's right. You know, the Hickory House was such a strange interlude in the duo, in the Mitchell Ruff duo's career. We played there often when other groups like your trio and Don Shirley and others did not. And it gave us an opportunity to rub elbows with so many fabulous people. I have just finished writing a book about several things in music, and the very beginning of it is a scene in the Hickory House.
Really?
Where Ellington comes in one night with Billy Strayhorn to referee a fight between me and the owner of the Hickory House, who got very angry because Mitchell and I gave 2 weeks' notice when he thought we were going to stay for the summer.
And do you imagine, what two wonderful referees, Strayhorn and Ellington. My God.
Well,
who won? What happened?
Ellington won with his diplomacy. His diplomacy was just so flawless.
Wasn't it, though?
Yes, so that he could stop a hurricane simply by being calm in the center of it, you know. And Popkin wanted us to stay because we had the reputation in those years of being the cheapest group in jazz. We were the smallest. You can't be smaller than a duo. That's a group at its irreducible minimum. And so that it made union scale or close to it so cheap for Popkin, and we were starting to make an impression there, and business was good. Business was sensational. So when I announced to Popkin that we were leaving, he hit the ceiling right there out in front of the customers.
Of course, he always did, banging the bar,
yes,
shouting.
Yes, you heard him shout?
Oh, of course.
I thought it was rare. I thought he only did that for my benefit.
Oh, no, he did it for all our benefits. And then he would shout, then he would come around during sets, and Joe Morella would be practicing, and he'd scream out, "Stop that banging!" Top of his lungs. Oh, God, we have so many of the similar experiences at the Hickory House.
Well, you know, Ellington Ellington was never allowed to pay for a meal there. He loved the food, and one of the services he rendered besides his presence was to recommend groups for Popkin, and he had recommended us, and that's when Popkin exploded the night I told him that we were going to take off in a couple of weeks. He says, "Ain't I been good to you guys? Duke Ellington said you were nice guys. I'm going to call him. You can't do this to me. I'm going to tell Ellington what you did." So when I saw Ellington coming in a few nights after that, I knew what he was coming for. He wasn't just coming for the food and to listen. He was working.
Oh, God. Well, that's a story about the Hickory House that I never knew. But, God. Well, I could start reminiscing, but this is not the time and place because I want to hear you play one of the... I mean, you're just such a multi-talented guy. Bass, piano, and French horn. That's your chief instrument, isn't it, the French horn? Or is it the
Along
bass?
With the hambone. I'm pretty good at the hambone. I don't know who number one is. I've heard that Roscoe Lee Brown, the actor...
The hambone?
Yes. That's this great American invention, a drum substitute where you play on your
thighs.
Oh,
right,
and
chest. Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
I do that in most of our concerts, especially for children and especially overseas and all. Have you had a ham bone performance on your show on piano
it's
jazz?
Too bad you didn't bring the ham bone.
I did.
Well, maybe we can work it in somewhere.
Okay.
We ought to do that.
All right.
Well, let's do something. I want to hear you play the horn.
All right.
Speaking of Ellington, speaking of the horn and everything else, what should we do?
How about Prelude to a Kiss?
Oh, that's a lovely tune.
I
love that one. No, you know, I don't know how you develop that wonderful control, though, with the horn. That takes a lot of, work, doesn't it? Lung power.
Yes. Horn players or wind players play a lot of long tones to gain control. Scales, too, but you just practice endless long tones in the practice room. Just play notes as long as you can hold them.
Well, did you start as a kid playing the French horn?
I started 14 years old in the Army. I was in the Army as a kid. You hear the term batted about Army brat, and it generally means the children of parents who are in the service. But I was an adolescent Army brat.
You were just a regular brat, Army brat.
That's right.
But now, that's how you met Mitchell,
was
in the Army.
That's right. And I was learning to play the horn when I did that, when I met him.
I see. Well, now I don't know where to start. Maybe you should tell me about how you and Mitchell met, because you're the longest-running duo in showbiz, aren't you?
That's right. The longest-running continuous act. That's right.
35 years, isn't
35
it?
Years. We're going into our 36th year.
And you met in the Army?
We met in the Army as teenagers.
Fantastic.
I ran away from home, sort of, and joined the Army at 14. And I learned to play the horn and the bass in the Army. Mitchell taught me to play the bass.
Oh, he did?
He did, yeah. Yeah. For a radio show. Kind of like this.
You mean,
except we didn't talk.
You mean you just got you just learned how to set up the bass, the strings and the tuning and everything.
Well, he already knew that. He knew about the bass. He had played with some wonderful bass players before I got to this famous band in Columbus, Ohio, where we met. And Elvin Jones was in that band.
Yeah, it was an Army band.
An Air Force band.
Air Force band. Mm-hmm. Well, when you were in that band, and you were already playing the French horn,
that's right.
I guess.
I could play the horn a little. And one day I was in the practice room practicing, and I noticed Mitchell, who was already a star. He was 18 and 19 at the time. And I noticed him, as I played, watching my foot, the way I pat my foot. And he says, "You got pretty good time. Would you like to learn how to play the bass?" And I'd only known him a couple of weeks, but I knew he was a fabulous player. And I said, yeah, because he might have seen me fooling around with the bass, because every chance I got, I used to pick it up, but I didn't know how to tune it or anything like that. So he said, "Well, I can show you how." And he marked off with chalk the notes on the string and taught me how to play a couple of scales and F and B flat. And then and he said, "Okay, now bring it over to the piano and we're going to play the blues." I said, "Are you crazy? How am I going to play the blues? I don't know how to." He said, "Just play the notes I tell you to play. Now you know where they are." And that's how we started playing as a duo.
Fantastic. But then, of course, when you played the French horn, you must have had a kick out of the way he would play behind you.
We didn't play the horn much. I didn't play the horn with him just then. I was not... I wasn't any better on the horn then than I was on the bass. I'd just begun. So I didn't dare try to play the horn with him then. It was only later.
Only later. But, yes. But wow. And You had a nightclub in Connecticut, didn't you?
That's right.
The Playbill?
Playback.
The Playback.
I was trying to think of the name of that.
Yes. Well, you had a lot of terrific performers.
Yes. The idea for having that club was that we had decided that we wanted to hear some extension of our sound. We wanted to hear more than just the two instruments. We wanted a drummer. And we found, luckily, the great Charlie Smith, the left-handed brush drummer.
That guy was so wonderful.
Yes, wasn't
Charlie
he?
Wasn't Smith. He? Now, and that's the record of yours that I'm missing, the Catbird Seat.
That's right. That's right. So we looked around and finally found that Charlie was ready to have a change. And we knew we would have to be out of New York in order to really learn a repertoire. And I went to New Haven and couldn't get a situation in a club that was suitable. So I decided to build one a hard way, right?
God, well, you've always done things like that. I mean, so you couldn't find the club you wanted, so you built one, and you wanted to go to play jazz in other countries, so you figured out ways to go. You've got to tell me about that.
Okay.
Well, listen, let's you and I play something, bass and piano.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yes.
Okay.
What are we going to play?
How about There Is No Greater Love?
Okay.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. You may enjoy another of our productions, Song Travels with Michael Feinstein. Check out the podcast. Subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels.